Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the principle of judgment. And when I say judgment, I'm talking about the judgment that will occur during the Great White Throne period of time. Jesus will be sitting on a great white throne, white obviously being a symbol of righteousness, and he'll be judging people. And this judgment occurs during a period of time. As you know from watching TV court cases or being in court yourself, that there's really two phases of a court case. There's the period of time when evidence is submitted, and then there's the sentencing phase. So we're talking now about Jesus looking at evidence. Yes, there will be a time when a sentence is handed down, and yes, some people have already been judged, but we're talking about, and when I say judge, that means sentence, because he's already evaluated their works, and these are people who will either be resurrected to eternal life, or people will be resurrected and thrown into the lake of fire. They'll be in the hellfire. They'll have eternal death. So either way, some people have already been judged and sentenced by Jesus the Christ. It's just that at a certain period of time, people will be resurrected. So nobody is in heaven right now except for Jesus the Christ. He's the only one that's been resurrected to eternal life, and nobody's burning in hell right now. All right, everybody who's dead is just dead, awaiting the resurrection. So some will be resurrected when Christ returns to eternal life, and some will be resurrected to eternal death. But there will be another time when there will be a period of judgment, and this judgment will be the evaluation first, and then the sentencing phase. And I just want to show you that there's the evaluation stage where evidence is being submitted and weighed, and we can see an example of that in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 15 through 26. This is Matthew chapter 27 and verses 15 through 26. This is the example of Jesus being on trial. So it says, now at the feast, the governor, who was Pilate at the time, so at the feast, Pilate was accustomed to releasing a certain person who was a prisoner, and he wanted to release this prisoner to the Jews. And he did that to appease them, just to make them happy. It's like, here, let me throw you this bone. You guys are having this great celebration, which was always during the days of unleavened bread. So during this period of time when everybody's happy, I just want to make peace with you, keep you happy. So I'm going to throw you a bone by releasing a prisoner to you. Let this prisoner go free so you see that, you know, it's not all about the iron fist of Rome, that we're really great people. Well, obviously they weren't, but this was just a sham that they tried to perpetrate on people. So that's what they did. And there happened to be, as it says in verse 16, a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. And therefore, when the people were gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Who do you desire that I release to you?" There's two people. Here on the left hand is Barabbas, and here on the right hand is this person, Jesus, who's called the Christ. Which one do you want released to you? Now, as it says in verse 18, Pilate understood that Jesus had been delivered up to him because the people, primarily the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests, they had envy. They envied Jesus. They envied all of the worship and adulation and the power that he had. So that's why they turned him over. It wasn't because he did anything wrong. They just were envious of his power. And they wanted that adulation from the crowd. They wanted to be worshipped. Now it says in verse 19, but as Pilate was sitting down, and he was sitting down where? As Pilate was sitting down on the judgment seat. You see that? Pilate is sitting down on the judgment seat. Now, at this period of time, had Pilate already handed down his sentence? The answer is no. The sentencing phase doesn't come until later. Prior to the sentencing phase, there's a period of evaluation where you're weighing the evidence, and that's what he's doing. He's giving people a chance to say, well, we looked at Jesus, and Pilate himself said, hey, there's nothing that he's done wrong, And we're looking at Barabbas, who's a notorious prisoner. I mean, everybody knew that he did things wrong. Some people said that he killed people. Other people said that he stole. Some people just said that he led an uproar against the Roman government. But he was a notorious prisoner. All right? So this is the evaluation phase. He's sitting down in the judgment seat. And during this period of time, his wife sent to him somebody saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man." That just man she's referring to is Jesus. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, something is established. Pilate says that he was a just man, and now Pilate's wife says that Jesus is a just man. You don't find any fault with Jesus. Of course, he was sinless, so you couldn't find a fault with him. But she says, "I'm warning you that today I have suffered many things in a dream because of this Jesus. So I think you should leave him alone. Don't have anything to do with him. Just release him." But, as it says in verse 20, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you desire that I release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with this Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "But why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out all the more. They cried out even louder, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But when Pilate saw that it gained nothing, except for that it stirred the people up even worse, then he said, "Look, I'm going to wash my hands of this whole matter." So he was listening to his wife and to his own conscience. He said, I'm not going to have anything to do with the innocent blood of this person. So you see this? He's evaluating Jesus. Prior to what we started to read, he had asked Jesus a number of questions. He had asked the people, "What do you accuse him of?" And he came to the conclusion, this guy is not guilty of anything. How can they be asking for his blood? When here's Barabbas, he's obviously guilty of a lot, and everybody knows it. Why aren't they asking for him? So he says, "Listen, you guys are all washed up, and I'm washing my hands of this whole matter. I am not going to put this innocent man to death. If you want him put to death, it's your matter. You take it into your own hands, because I'm washing my hands of this whole thing." All right, so in verse 25, it says, "Then all the people answered and said, 'Let his blood be upon us and on our children.'" So then we come to the sentencing phase, all right? Because the first phase was the evaluation phase, this first phase of judgment. Judgment has two phases. It's the evaluation phase and it's the sentencing phase. We just got finished with the evaluation stage, where all of the evidence was submitted and it was judged. And the judgment of Pilate was, "Hey, Jesus is innocent. Barabbas is guilty. You need to have Barabbas released, but since you don't want to and you want Jesus released, I'm washing my hands of it. I've already made my decision in my own mind, but I'm going to capitulate to you, and my sentence is," this is what he says, "Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." So that was the sentence. Go ahead and whip him. So they beat him with the cat of nine tails. They beat him 39 stripes, just short of the 40. And then they sent him over to be crucified. So that was the sentencing phase. You go ahead and you beat him and you crucify him. Now, of course, the Roman soldiers were involved in that, but what he's saying is, I'm passing this responsibility to you. So you see how that is? Pilate got together. He heard Jesus' evidence. He heard the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. He heard their evidence. And Pilate, during this evaluation stage, said, I think he's innocent. I don't want to turn him over. But the people said, "No, we have condemned him to death. We have judged him as being worthy of death, and so let us have him." And that's what Pilate did. So the sentencing phase was, you take him, you beat him, you crucify him. It's up to you. All right, so all I'm saying from this scripture here, is that judgment involves two stages: the evaluation stage when the evidence is submitted, and then the sentencing phase after the decision has been arrived at. Then you make your pronouncement. This person will be put to death. This person will be released. All right. Same thing with Jesus the Christ. So we have three major evaluation periods. The first major evaluation period was from Adam and Eve until Christ's second coming. So I shouldn't say was, is. This is still going on. This is the longest evaluation stage. But only a few people are being evaluated on the basis of whether or not they're going to have eternal life or eternal death. Because many are called, but few are chosen, and God has blinded the minds of most people so that He's not even giving them their first chance at salvation. And we went over all of this in many, many programs. So if you haven't been with us and you think this is crazy because you haven't heard it before, please go back. Listen to the programs. They're online. It's for free. You can just check out the section of the website that says radio programs. You can listen to them online, download them, listen to them at a later time. No problem. We have an article there under free literature. You can read that. And this is called Your Appointments with God, or You Have an Appointment with God. So please read that, listen to it, and you'll see that the scripture shows that God has blinded most people and that He has not even been trying to save people for the most part, just a few, the first fruits. But that's the major time period, is from Adam and Eve until Christ's second coming. Then the second period of judgment will be the 1,000 years when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, and the people who will be judged at that time will be all the people who survived the last few years before Jesus' second coming. So that's all the people who have survived from the Great Tribulation, the Last Great Day, the Battle of Armageddon, all of those people who survived, who will be physical human beings because they're still alive but they haven't accepted Christ. These physical human beings will then be judged during this 1,000 year period of time, and of course any children that they give birth to will be judged during the 1,000 year reign of Jesus the Christ here on earth. And of course, Jesus will be judging along with the resurrected saints, those who will be resurrected at the beginning of the 1,000 years, which is when Christ returns. And then the third period of judgment will be when the majority of people who have ever lived and died, they will be resurrected after the 1,000 year reign of Christ, and they will be resurrected to physical life and given their first opportunity at salvation. And all three of these periods of judgment are periods of evaluation where evidence is being weighed. Do you prove that you believe that Jesus is the Savior by the works that you do? All three of those periods of time. And yes, the sentencing phase will come. The first sentencing phase will be when Jesus the Christ returns, His second coming. He will say some will be resurrected to eternal life, and some will be resurrected to eternal death. Then the second sentencing phase will happen, obviously, at the end of the 1,000 years, and then the third sentencing phase will happen at the end of the Great White Throne period of time. So we'll talk a little bit more about judgment in our next two programs. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.